Well, let's bow our heads. Let me pray for us and have a short word for us. Okay, let's pray. Lord God, we praise you, God. There is no one as worthy as you, as beautiful as you, as glorious and radiant as you are, God. And God, you came to us in this broken place, full of zeal and passion and love and humility. And so, God, we want to remember you. We want to honor you, God. Thank you for being the humble king. Thank you for being not born into palaces and great earthly dignity, but you were born in a manger, in a barn, with animals, and in poverty, God. And so we thank you, God, that you come to relate with us, to know us. And thank you, God. And so we praise you today. We lift you up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Merry Christmas. I've titled the sermon today, "The Longing Deep in My Heart." Okay? The longing that is deep in my heart and in your heart. So if you could open your Bible to John chapter 6. John is the fourth book of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And John was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. So this is a first-hand eyewitness account of Jesus. So let's turn to John chapter 6, verse 35. We just have one verse for today. Let me read for us. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me, to Jesus, shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me, Jesus, shall never thirst." So Jesus was a man. I think Christians and non-Christians, believers and non-believers would agree. That this historical man, Jesus, about 2,000 years ago, he was a man. He walked on this earth. But he was a strange man. He was a remarkable, extraordinary man. I was telling my kids on the way to church today, Jesus, there were times where Jesus would touch another human being who was suffering for years and years and years with incurable diseases. Jesus would touch, and somehow through the touch and the power of God, he would intervene into biology, the human biology. He would cure incurable diseases just with his touch. That's remarkable. They were on a boat. There's a story where Jesus is on a boat with his disciples and he's taking a nap. And there's a storm. There's a storm that comes. And back in the day, they didn't have, you know, big cruise ships like we do, right? It was a wooden boat that barely fit 12 or 13 people. And they're crossing the Sea of Galilee. And a storm comes, if you can imagine. A storm comes, it's raining, there's winds, the waves are tossing. Jesus gets up, he speaks a word, and the storm stops. So he has this supernatural power just with his word over the weather. That's incredible. I wish I could do that, right? It's raining on the way home. lots of cars are going crazy. He's like, yeah, I wish I could do that. But Jesus, this man, has this incredible power with his word. There's multiple accounts where people had died. I mean, we got to understand, the heart stopped beating. Blood stopped flowing. The brain and everything about the body died. They were ready to bury people. And then he comes and he touches and he speaks and he prays. And Jesus reverses death and people come back to life. So I think we can agree these are remarkable, supernatural miracles. Supernatural. They are extraordinary. They're not common. They're not normal. But, I think something that is even more miraculous, a more supernatural and miraculous claim of Jesus, is not just physical. It's not just that he commands and has the power to change physical things in front of us. He has a claim about the human heart, about the human soul, about why we're here, what gives us true meaning, identity, and purpose. Let me read again. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Okay? He makes a claim here, okay? He says, whoever comes to me, whoever comes to him, shall not hunger. Whoever believes in him shall never thirst. To say it a different way, Jesus' claim, his claim, is that if a human being comes to him and believes in him, you will never, ever, ever be hungry and thirsty again. Ever. Not physically. He's not talking about physical here, because he just fed the 5,000, actually. That's what happened before this. He fed the 5,000, and they were chasing after him because they wanted more food. Funny, right? Yeah. It's like, they're hungry. They're hungry. They're literally hungry. I'm hungry too, right? They're literally hungry. And he says, I'm the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. If you come to him, you will never, ever, ever be hungry or thirsty in your heart and in your soul ever again. That is a remarkable claim. No one has ever claimed that in the history of humanity. That is stunning. To say it a different way, what Jesus is saying is, every created object in this world, every human relationship, every desire for an accolade or an achievement, every human experience, every material possession will eventually leave you hungry and thirsty. Eventually. It will eventually leave you hungry and thirsty. But if you come to him, you will never be hungry or thirsty. Incredible. Incredible. Because we live in a world where people do amazing things, actually. People do amazing things. So what Jesus is saying is that if you are the greatest of all time in your sport, Michael Jordan, the greatest of all time in basketball, Tom Brady, the indisputable greatest of all time, 7 Super Bowls, 20 seasons. He's the GOAT. You can have everything, you can achieve everything, and Jesus is saying, but you're going to be hungry. no matter how much meaning and identity you get from that, you're going to be hungry. You're going to be thirsty. Elon Musk, okay? Or Warren Buffett or Bill Gates or whoever. Elon Musk's net worth is $700 billion right now. No human being has ever been that wealthy in the history of humanity. He's never had a material need, I don't think. He has power, he has influence, he has a reputation. People would love to meet him. People would love to sit down and have a meal with that guy, right? And what Jesus is saying is, but he's going to be hungry. He's going to be thirsty. So it is a remarkable claim when Jesus says, if you come to him, you will never be hungry and you will never be thirsty. If Jesus is lying, if he's a liar, that's pretty evil, actually. It's evil to claim that people can come to you and never be hungry, never be thirsty, ever again, and then he's lying. That would be cruel. So the question is he a liar or is he God? That's an important question. Because if he's a liar, we should reject him. Don't waste your time if he's lying. But if he's God, and if he is true to his word, that is an extraordinary claim that no created thing, no human achievement, nothing in this world can make that claim. So we must investigate. We have to investigate this claim. If you want to pursue the greatest happiness, I hope everyone here wants to live a full and happy life. I hope you do. I hope you do. I think we're made to do that. We're made to live, we're made to maximize joy in this life. Okay? But then Jesus makes a claim. So the question is he a liar or is he God? So what do we do next? What do we do next with that? It's like, okay, I don't know what to do with that, right? What do we do with that claim? And I think Jesus gives us a clue, and I'm going to wrap up here. I think Jesus gives us a clue if we dig in and press in a little bit. Okay, because he says, whoever comes to me. So I want you to mentally or physically underline that or highlight it in your Bible. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me, you got to underline that. Because he's showing us how to come to him and how to investigate him, how to figure out if he's being honest or not. And here's what I think those two things mean, okay? I believe they're an act of faith, okay? Let me close with this. I believe they're an act of faith. And here's what I mean. When my wife and I were dating, okay? It's a long time ago, when we were dating, all right? And just to be honest, there were times where, I hope I'm not putting her on the spot here. I didn't talk to her about this, but I didn't talk to her about sharing this. She wanted more of my time. She wanted more of me. But I was sort of like holding her at arm's length, okay? I mean, I wanted to pursue her, but I wanted my own time. I wanted to command my own time. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I wanted to live my own life as well, right? So in other words, I wanted the benefits to the relationship, But I didn't want to give up all the costs to the relationship, right? And here it is. To pursue something truly worthy, it requires sacrifice of lesser things to devote your life to greater things. Let me say that again. To anything that matters in this life, anything that matters in this life. If you're a pro football player and you want to be the GOAT, anything that matters. If you're in love with someone and you want to get married, anything that matters. If you want to have children, whatever it is, right? Even in a worldly sense, any worthwhile pursuit in this life, it requires that you sacrifice lesser things to devote your life to greater things. That's universal. You ask any pro athlete, you ask any soldier, you ask any CEO, you ask anyone that has achieved anything in this life, you have to sacrifice lesser things to pursue greater things. That's universal. If you want to be a good dad, you want to be a good mom, you got to sacrifice lesser things to pursue greater things. If you want to be a good husband, if you want to be a good wife, if you want to be a better husband and a better wife, you got to sacrifice lesser things to pursue greater things. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's what I discovered while I was dating my wife. Okay? Here's what I discovered. And even into marriage, here's what I discovered. It has to be my joy. She can't twist my arm into it. I have to search and discover in my heart to make it my joy to sacrifice lesser things, to pursue greater things. So when Jesus says, "Come to me," whoever comes to him, it assumes there's a hunger. And that's a gift of God, by the way. Hunger is a gift of God. It assumes a hunger and a thirst in your soul, in the depths of your soul. It maybe even assumes that we've tried to fill it with other things, because we do that all the time. I do that all the time. We all do it in our own way. We try to find meaning and purpose and identity all over the place. But it says, whoever comes to him, whoever believes in him, whoever is willing to sacrifice the lesser things joyfully to pursue the greater thing joyfully, you will never be hungry, you will never be thirsty ever again. Can the Christians in the room say amen? Like, amen? Amen? Not that there isn't a struggle, not that there isn't a temptation. We live on the left side of heaven, right? We're waiting for the other side when God will give us an undivided heart and we will be filled fully with the fullness of joy and satisfaction. All of our hunger and thirst and longing will be satisfied completely. But it requires faith. It requires faith. It requires faith. And God has to give us that faith to say, God, we are, through struggle, we are willing to sacrifice lesser things that don't mean anything to pursue the greatest thing, Jesus Christ. He is our joy. Everlasting, forever. Okay? Let's pray. And let me, as we pray, I'll invite Nate and the worship team to come up and we'll sing to close our time. But let me pray for us. Lord God, thank you for Christmas. Thank you for the good news, God. That for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, humanity was searching and continues to search for meaning and longing in this lifetime, to make our lives count, to not waste our lives, to pursue joy and satisfaction. And I pray, God, that you would show us by your grace that there is nothing in this life. There is no success, no amount of money. There is no reputation. There's no popularity. There's nothing, God. Everything will leave us hungry and thirsty. But only you, God, only you, Jesus Christ, can satisfy the longings of our hearts, God. As the deer pants for streams of water, so our souls, God, pant for you, the living God. So I pray for that gift, God. I pray for the gift of hunger. I pray for the gift of thirst. I pray that for our children. I pray that for Elios. I pray that for ACCC. I pray that for Calvary Hill. I pray that for our guests today, God, that we would not settle for lesser things. So God, would you forgive us? Forgive me, God, when I settle for less. God, you, thank you for coming to us, revealing to us your glory, the glory of your beauty and your delight, your sovereign hand, God, God our Father, God our friend, our everlasting lover. Oh God, give us faith. Lord, give us faith to pursue the greatest joy in our lives, God, which is you, to pursue you with all our hearts. God, help us, Lord, help us. Lord, help us to put to death the lesser things. God, you are the bread of life. Thank you for the promise that we will never be hungry and never be thirsty in your presence, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.